This is the TriDot Podcast. TriDot uses your training data and genetic profile combined with predictive analytics and artificial intelligence to optimize your training, giving you better results in less time with fewer injuries. Our podcast is here to educate, inspire, and entertain. We'll talk all things triathlon with expert coaches and special guests. Join the conversation and let's improve together.
Welcome to the TriDot Podcast. Now, as usual, I am the third fittest person on the show today. The gap, though, between myself and our guests today is larger than usual. I am thrilled to have the legendary Tri Power couple of Tim O'Donnell and Marinda Carfrae here with us. Marinda is originally from Australia. Tim is from Pennsylvania, and they now reside in Boulder, Colorado with Izzy and Finn, rounding out the family of four. Simply put, Rennie is one of the greatest triathletes of all time. With over 50 wins at major events, a 70.3 World Championship title, 3 Ironman World Championship titles, and 7 podium finishes in Kona in the span of a decade. Tim is one of the most successful American long course triathletes. He won the ITU Long Distance World Championship in 2009. He's a 2-time Ironman champion, a 9-time Ironman 70.3 champion, and a 6-time Armed Forces National Champion. He has stood on the podium in Kona multiple times, and most importantly, he has been on the TriDot Podcast once before, back on episode 60. So Tim, welcome back to the show. Rennie, welcome to the show for the very first time. How are you guys?
We're doing so good, Andrew. Thanks for having us.
Well, I'm Andrew, the average triathlete, voice of the people, and captain of the middle of the pack. As always, we'll roll through our warm-up question, settle in for our main set conversation, and then wind things down with our cool down.
Time to warm up. Let's get moving.
For our warm-up question this week, I am 100% stealing this one from TriDot Ambassador Nadav from California. He posted to the I Am TriDot group asking this: what is one unexpected song or track on your workout playlist? I thought this was a very clever question, so I decided to steal it and throw it out to you, our podcast audience. Now, for him, the answer was the Pokemon theme song. That's probably not on most people's workout lists, but it's on his. There were some other really great answers to his post as well. Karen said, my playlist consists of Disney songs and songs from Mamma Mia. Desiree said Snoop Dogg, but it's probably not the Snoop Dogg song you would imagine. She is going with Snoop Dogg's affirmation song for kids. I didn't know he had one of those. I got to go look up and see what that's all about, but that's on her workout playlist. Shalais Murphy from New Zealand, she said Baby Shark. My kids got into my phone and managed to sneak this song onto my playlist. Whenever it comes on, it makes me smile. Great post there from her. Last one I'll say here, athlete Rob Green. He said the Imperial March from Star Wars, not the orchestra version, the metal version. So very, very fun songs from the TriDot audience. Now I'm curious to hear from our guests today, Tim and Rennie. Rennie, I guess I'll throw this over to you first. What is one unexpected song on your workout playlist?
I end up just listening to podcasts, to be honest.
Do you? Okay.
Yeah. So, I used to listen to playlists, but lately it's just I don't have time to listen to anything or watch TV. So we end up just watching TV and not really listening to music when we're in the pain cave.
That wasn't a good answer.
Was it terrible?
That wasn't a good answer at
terrible
all.
Terrible answer. What do you have that's unexpected?
I got some like crazy 80s songs on there, like probably like Karma Chameleon or some John Denver, Country Roads. You'll find that on there too.
Now, I'm a big fan of the song Country Roads. It's a nice chill tune. I am surprised that is on a workout playlist. So good answer, Tim. Much better than Rennie, but we won't hold you against it, Rennie. We'll
roll
with it.
One of Finn's favorite songs too, by the way.
This answer for me is actually, I'm sure the two of you with your kiddos are familiar with the Disney film Frozen, right? You've heard that one before a few times. I have a version of Let It Go on my workout playlist. It's not the version from the film. I have a lot of like punk rock on my workout playlist. And so the band Newfound Glory did a cover of Let It Go, and it rolls pretty hard, and it's a pretty good one on my workout playlist. So that's this answer for me. How many times have you maybe watched that movie with Finn and Izzy? Do you
think? I don't think Finn has seen it.
Finn hasn't
Izzy
even seen it. Isabel.
Loved it.
Really?
Yeah, younger. I mean, she was a huge Frozen girl.
Yeah, and when the new Frozen 2 came out, she was like 2 years old, maybe, and she sat in the cinema and watched the whole thing.
Yeah.
So she was locked in.
The power of cinema. Well, guys, we're going to throw this question out to you, our Trotout audience. Make sure you find the post on the I Am Trotout Facebook group asking you, what is one song on your workout playlist that people would be surprised to find?
On to the main set. Going in 3, 2, 1.
We have chatted about the best approaches to hydration with sports scientist Andy Blow from Precision Fuel and Hydration. On episode 101 of the podcast and many more episodes past that, we've learned from him that there is not a one-size-fits-all approach to hydration because every athlete loses a different amount of salt in their sweat. I had a sweat test with Andy and the team, and I found that I lose more than 1,200 milligrams of sodium per liter of my sweat. After taking the test, I received a personalized hydration plan and was recommended their strongest electrolyte drink, PH 1500. Now, this is 3 times stronger than most sports drinks, and it has been a total game changer for me, particularly in the Texas hot conditions that I train in. If you've ever struggled with hydration issues like dehydration or cramping during long, hot sessions, I highly recommend that you check out precisionfuelandhydration.com and find your nearest center for a sweat test. You can also use their fuel and hydration planner to get a free, personalized strategy for race day. And don't forget, as a listener of the show, you can get 10% off your first order of electrolytes by using the code TRY23 when checking out. Separately, Marinda Carfrae and Tim O'Donnell are each Ironman champions and fierce competitors. Together, they are one of the most successful and beloved tri-couples to ever grace this sport. And as they both write the final chapter of their legendary pro racing careers, we get to sit down and hear them reflect on what they've done, where they're at, and where they're going next. Now, Tim Rennie, I'm going to start with what I feel like is a very hard-hitting journalistic question today. I followed your work for a long time now. You guys have great content on your social media channels, particularly the Tim and Rennie Show on YouTube. I'm a big fan of the show. And I've noticed that it started off as the Tim and Rennie Show. And then when Izzy was born, you made it the Tim and Rennie plus Izzy Show. And then you had your son, Finn. And Finn never got added to the title card for the Tim and Rennie plus Izzy plus Finn show. And I feel like my man Finn deserves to be on there. He's getting left out. So we're opening with this question today. When are you guys going to give Finn his due and add him to the name of your YouTube show?
Second child. They never get what the first child gets. Izzy's got big shoes to fill, right? I mean, she's been the star of that show since she was born. So
yeah, so true.
I think we'll just call it the Izzy Show, maybe. Also, Kenny Withrow, our camera guy, needs to edit the title for us.
Yeah.
We don't know how to do that.
Yeah.
Now, Tim, Rennie, I know how wildly competitive you both are. Now, you never directly competed against each other on race day, of course, but in the Pain Cave, or maybe just throughout the season, was there ever any sort of in-house competitive juice flowing between the two of you? Any notable in-house bragging rights from your careers?
Who says we didn't compete on the race course? We always had wages on the line for like basically the
Did
gap.
You?
Yeah, but you know how there's this, you know, there's a standard gap between pro men and pro women, so we were kind of like,
if oh yeah, Ironman cans. You had to drink from the shoe, remember?
I had to drink from the shoe because from my own shoe.
That was gross.
So gross. It was champagne at least, so that kind of killed most of the things that were maybe in my shoe. But yeah, I mean we're competitive in a friendly, fun way. Obviously,
sure.
You know, I'm his biggest supporter and he's mine, and so you know we want nothing.
Rennie did literally beat me 1 year in Kona. I mean, literally ran by me.
like literally, like time. Yeah, straight up time.
We actually competed against each other, I guess.
Love to see it. Love to hear it. Now you both have done loads of interviews, you know, where you've been asked about your own career, your own accomplishments. So just for something a little bit different, I mean, I'm curious to hear Tim reflect on Rennie's career and vice versa. So Tim, I'm going to start with you. When you look at Rennie's career, what moment or accomplishments are maybe the most notable to you, having watched it close up firsthand?
I mean, it's hard to look past her performances at the Ironman World Championship, especially kind of from, you know, 2010 to what, 16, I guess, right? I remember, and actually one of the years she didn't win was pretty amazing. The year she got second, which was, 2011 to Chrissy Wellington. And she ran by and she just said, this is the beginning of the run. I'm just like, I'm done. Like, I'm smoked. And she still went on off and ran like a 2:52 or something. And amazing second place performance. But yeah, just honestly, it's the preparation that I saw for those world championships that was really, wow, was awe-inspiring for me. I mean, she was just very determined and very focused, tunnel vision almost of what she had to do. Didn't matter if it was the best way or not, but it was her way, and it was in her mind the best way. And that's what you need. I mean, that's what you need to win. You got to be so sure of yourself and your convictions that you just make it happen.
Now, reading for you, as you look at Tim's career and the great things he's accomplished, top to bottom, from start to where he's going now, what kind of stands out for you when you think of his career?
I think for me, Tim has just been meticulous in everything he does. He will leave no stone unturned. You know, he wasn't a good runner at all. Even when I first met him, he was still really learning how to run well. And he, you know, has turned in some of the fastest, you know, run splits, you know, as he's moved along. Obviously came from a swim background. Generally swimmers struggle to run, runners struggle to swim. That's me. I never got to swim well, but he actually figured out a way to be able to run with the best in the world. And obviously his consistency through the latter part of his career, I guess 2019 was the second place in Kona to Jan Frodeno. I mean, second in the world to the GOAT, fastest American ever in Kona. I mean, just incredible. And it's because of his work ethic, number one, his belief, obviously. I think that goes without saying. You have to 100% believe in what you're doing. But then just, working like on every single weakness and not letting it go, you know, like until it's perfected. So that's what I admire with his preparation.
So we are not breaking any news today, but Rennie, by now your retirement announcement has made the rounds, and most of the triathlon world, I think, is aware that you're hanging up the racing shoes for good. What made this kind of the right time for you to make that decision?
You know, I think it's been coming. I actually, in 2020, was planning to do Kona, and then Tim and I were going to try for a second child. And then obviously COVID came and everything got canceled. So, you know, our plans to try for a second got moved up, and I thought, oh, that's fine. We'll have another baby, and then, you know, I'll bounce back in and do Kona whenever it comes back, 2021, 2022. And then, then Finn arrived, and my motivation just wasn't there as much anymore. I wanted to be present, you know, having had Isabel already, and she's 3.5, and how quickly those young, you know, first years went. I was just wanted to be present in the moment. But then I was like, well, let's just move down, you know, the road in triathlon. And I got my motivation back and wanted to race, and raced obviously through till last year. But then last year again, I'm like, I don't have the capacity in me anymore that I had before. Just like, triathlon is not everything to me, and it has to be everything to you. Like, to win on the biggest stage, which is obviously what drove me, you know, to try and be the best athlete in the world, to try to be the best I could ever be, that drive wasn't there anymore. And so when that wasn't there, I was kind of just going through the motions, and found myself like wanting more and more to just spend more time with the kids and be more present with the children. And, you know, if you're training for Ironman, you're really a shell of a human outside of all of the training you're doing. And I mean, well, so at our level anyway, to race the best in the world.
Sure.
it was just, my heart wasn't in it anymore, at the end of the day. And, just was evident. I mean, and that's not to say I didn't enjoy racing last year. I really did. I had some really fun races, really enjoyed getting out there, but I know what it takes and what I have to do to keep that sort of performance up or go better, which is really, as I said, what drives me in the first place. And, just not willing to do that anymore. Not willing to sacrifice any of my mommy time.
Yeah. It's a hard decision.
Yeah.
When you get faced with having to go out for a 6-hour ride and your kids just want to hang out with you.
Yeah. You know? It's like every single day that like I get up to go training. Mommy, don't go. Mommy, no. And they're crying and you're like, I don't want to go. I want to stay. And it was just, it, you know, with after Isabel, with one, I still had the motivation. I still felt that I, you know, I could achieve better than I had before. But once I, you know, had Finn, sort of took the wind out of my sails and, yeah, in a good way, you know, like just, you know, softened me, I think, a little bit and felt like I lost my killer instinct and, yeah, just want to spend time with the little ones.
Yeah, and it's such an interesting concept, and I would definitely love to have, you know, what one or both of you, you know, on the show again just to unpack, you know, being a triathlete and being a parent a little bit more. We do have an episode or two out there about balancing your life with triathlon training, and Tridot is certainly something that is designed to help you do that. But just to hear it from the top level, to know that, you know, where you were in your career, you were kind of facing that divide of, oh man, like I need to go train. I want to go train, but I want to be mom. And I think a lot of your middle of the pack average Joe triathletes are facing that every single day in their training plan. So we'll definitely have to circle back and kind of unpack a little bit more on that. And I want to talk a little bit more just about retirement in the pro field. It's an interesting concept. I mean, across all sports, really, because there's no one right way to end especially a championship caliber career. So what has it been like for both of you just to look at the end game of your life, to kind of write the final chapters and try to figure out when is that right moment to call it? You know, Rennie, you've announced your retirement. Tim, you're getting there. You're still racing. Is this something that fellow pros talk to each other about? What is that like sitting in your shoes?
Death, taxes, and retiring from professional sport. They're all inevitable. you know, it's funny. Rennie and I were talking about this the other day. It seems like a lot of the men like just don't make announcements. Like they just
fade.
They just kind of fade away. And the women are very like have like intention, and they're like, okay, it's been, you know, they have that cathartic moment and they have some closure. And the men are like, you know what, I'm not going to retire. If I want to, I could probably hop in and win a race again in a couple years or whatever. You know, they want to almost leave that door open for their ego, maybe. I don't know. But yeah, it's been interesting to see the difference in some ways.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that there is a right way to do it. I feel really happy with, you know, my decision and to like close that book. But yeah, as I said, there are other athletes out there that, like Crowe, for example, he kind of never really retired, yeah, but he is retired. But yeah, he kind of like kept racing. I mean, he raced well, yeah, through, you know, his mid 40s.
Yeah.
And you can do, sure, that. Did. Like Meredith Kessler, another great example. She's sort of a few years older than me, mid 40s, I would guess. And, you know, coming back after a second child wants to win an Ironman. And that's fantastic. If you have the drive and support, and that's something you really deep down want to achieve, then go ahead and do it. But I think for me, I've had such a fairy tale career, and I just look back, I'm like, this was amazing. Like, this was amazing. Like, I could keep racing, but you know what? I value time with my kids more, and it couldn't be better than it already has been. So I feel like, yeah. For me, it felt right. It feels really good to be done.
And it's also, you know, it's can be very dependent on the athlete's situation on why they, mm-hmm, have to retire. You know, if you're injured or you know, injury prone throughout your career, or had milestones that you never achieved that you still think you were able to achieve, but now, like, for some reason you can't, it's probably a lot harder. I think it's been awesome watching Rennie, because we've seen a lot of our friends retire from the sport, and it's often very challenging, but Rennie's taken it in such stride and joy. And that's because I think, number one, we've never defined ourselves completely by just our results. And I think that's really important.
Oh, that's great.
You know, we find there is so much more to life than what you place you finish at a triathlon race, that's for sure. But I also see really similar transition experiences from the guys and the men and women in the military. You know, it's a hard transition. And you do something for 20 years or a big part of your life, and then you don't necessarily have an easy way to transition to something else. So it can be hard. So, you know, luckily, you know, like I said, Rennie has been amazing at it. And, you know, we're both also here for each other if we need to, as transitions happen, which is important.
Yeah, absolutely.
So on the day of your announcement, I mean, the triathlon world definitely honored you all over social media, on Instagram in particular. Rennie, I noticed that you were sharing just tons of great Instagram posts and stories with different people reflecting on the impact that your career had on them. What emotions did you feel? I mean, seeing all of those great tributes to your career.
Yeah, well, I mean, initially in our YouTube video, we shared a couple of just nice messages from people all throughout my career, from like my first, you know, wetsuit and shoe sponsor in Zoot, Brian Enge, to like Cannondale, Bill Riddell, and then more long-term sponsors. And it was just really nice to hear and see those familiar faces. Also, Jim Felt, Papa Jim, I love that guy. Was my sponsor for a long time. And then, yeah, obviously a lot of fellow professional athletes reached out, and I sort of, you know, it was, I think initially when I saw it with the YouTube show, I was fine. But then when I actually announced and then watched the people, you know, giving me like lovely messages, that made me well up a little bit. Just like, yeah, you know, you kind of forget like all of the people you've made friends with and or raced against, like competitors. I had Daniela Riff reaching out and thanking me for helping her. I'm like, I don't know if I need, you needed me. You're a phenomenal athlete. But, you know, just nice to hear from the other athletes, competitors as well, that you, on the race field, we never were really, with some of them I wasn't really friends with, you know, we just never really got close because we were always competitors and we just didn't have, you know, that relationship. But yeah, after sport, I think, yeah, it's kind of nice to hear from people and share war stories. I'm sure we'll be sharing them for many years to come.
Sure, for sure. Yeah, and Tim's tribute to your career that was making the rounds on social media was definitely shared internally on the TriDot kind of staff chats with people really appreciating what Tim had to say about you and your career. I mean, just lovely, lovely stuff, and everybody loves the two of you. Now, I did want to take a moment today and in this episode and just say a quick thanks to the both of you. We were supposed to do this interview on March 9th, 2023, but my wife and I ended up in the hospital that week, and our beautiful baby daughter was born on March 9th. It actually was 1 hour and 9 minutes before our interview was supposed to begin, actually, was the moment she was born. So obviously we had to reschedule. And you both were so gracious about it. I am the only guy that I know who was reading an email from three-time Ironman world champion Miranda Carfrae, wishing his family well as he was heading into the C-section room at the hospital. So I don't know too many people that can say that on the day their child was born. And so I know your children and your family are very, very important to you both. How has having Izzy and Finn around just impacted kind of the later stages of your careers?
I think, you know, rewind back to 2017 when we had Izzy, and I look back at the following race season in 18, and I think it really just reinvigorated both of us for the sport and the love of the sport. You know, we've been grinding for a long time, mm-hmm. and your priorities change over the years. You know, when you're young, you're just trying to make a name, and then you're trying to get to win races, and then you're trying to get paid, and then, you know, life happens and you know, have a mortgage and, you know, you have diapers and your priority shift. And then we had Isabel, and it's like, this is awesome. We get to share this together as a family. We get to go on the road. We get to be, you know, set an example for our little child and having kind of that focus in life and goals. And it was awesome. 2018 was one of my favorite race seasons. Absolutely.
Yeah, we traveled so much. We were in South America, Mexico, Canada, Europe, I think Hawaii, yeah. Australia twice.
Poland,
yeah, Europe. We were like all
everywhere. Yeah.
Everywhere. With a almost 1-year-old. Yeah. And obviously she came with us everywhere we went. But yeah, I think for me, it really I think by 17, I was tired mentally. We were really ready for a family. Actually, I think I was ready in 2015, and then I got knocked off my bike a couple of days before Kona, and then I didn't finish the race. And I'm like, well, I'm not gonna, you know.
That was a conversation.
Can't be the last one. We actually had
that. I'm like, no, I want to push forward and have a great result in Kona. And then, 2016, got second to Daniela, And then we basically got pregnant 2 months later, and Isabel was born in wow. August. And so having that time off and that downtime to just be like, okay, this is like, you know, 2.0. After having that time, I just had more energy, and I had, you know, the tiniest little cheerleader in the world on the finish line waiting for me to get done. And there's no better motivation than that in the world. So that was pretty amazing. In 2019, obviously, we both raced very well. I was on track to, I think, go really well in Kona, and then fortunately broke my arm 5 weeks before the race. But yeah, Tim got second in the world, and yeah, it was such a, I don't know, it was like a new start for us almost. Like, okay, now we have a different.
It's like a whole new career.
Yeah. Like it's all That's the dynamic, cool. everything changes. Yeah. And our motivation's as strong as ever. Before, we're racing for ourselves. We've made it in the sport, right? By 2016, well, I'd already won 3 times. Tim been on the podium. And I think, having Isabel like, okay, now we have a child and we have all of the motivation for being a good role model and showing her, what we can do. And it was fantastic.
And then Finn came along in 2020 and it's been chaos ever since.
Just following the family on Instagram, it seems like he adds the life to the party for sure.
He is. He's an amazing little guy. He's a little terror sometimes in a good way. But I think last year was definitely a challenge with 2 kids and both of us racing. And, for me racing or training this year right now, there is a little bit less, the edge has been reduced a little bit in terms of kind of that.
Not to mention you had a heart attack 8 weeks after Finn was born. Over that. So
that did happen.
A lot of crazy stuff in 2021. And so, it was, But I feel like everything's like kind of returning to homeostasis for Tim, for his racing. And obviously, we're moving on to next chapters. And
Yep. 2023 for me is just a chance to really enjoy racing again and almost do it for myself. Last year was hard, that comeback from the heart attack and everything. It was just mentally, emotionally draining, and just getting to the finish line in Kona was like, close that chapter. It's like, okay, I did it. I got back. Let's put that behind us. And when I made the decision to keep racing and for 2023, it was like, I'm going to keep racing because I think I have more performance in me and I want to just see what I'm made of and enjoy it.
Well, we will be rooting for you. That's for sure. And I know earlier in the show, I asked both of you what you thought the biggest accomplishment was when you look at each other's careers. And just for me as a fan, Rainey, the way you were able to come back from giving birth to Izzy and place 5th in Kona, and Tim, the way you've been able to come back from the heart attack and get back to racing at a competitive level, all while balancing family. To me, that's just the biggest accomplishment and the biggest deal when I look at the two of you as an inspiration. So just kudos to both of you on that. Now, as we slide into talking about your next chapter, what's next for Tim and Rennie? I would try to be cute and ask kind of a clever question that prompts you to reveal to us, what's in store next for Tim and Rennie. But in this case, it's kind of included in our episode title. So your next chapter, your new beginning, is the launch of Tim and Rennie Fitness. What is the vision here, and what do you hope to deliver for Tim and Rennie athletes?
Yeah, we really hope to just build a community of like-minded people who use triathlon as a vehicle to just be healthier. I mean, I feel like everybody just wants to feel good. And I think in the age group community, people have lives, they have jobs, they have family, they have children. It's not all about triathlon. And we love that because our lives weren't all about triathlon either. Yeah. And after having, 20 plus year career in the sport, we're excited to share our knowledge and with the general triathlon public and try and help people on their way to, their goals and dreams.
Yeah. Do so with an occasional glass of red wine.
Yeah.
You can have your wine and still do your training and still be a successful triathlete. That's for sure. So we obviously at TriDot, we're very excited for Tim and Rennie Fitness to be powered by TriDot. As you were planning this next chapter in coaching, what led you to choose TriDot, and how are you kind of leveraging that our technology into your coaching?
Well, we knew we wanted to, kind of build our community, get into coaching, and, be a positive part of triathlon. I mean, it's a sport we love, and we still wanted to be part of it. And we needed to find the right partner to do that. And we really did. We took it seriously, trying to find, you know, the right company to align with. And when we started talking with the team at TriDot and Jeff, we really realized our goals were quite aligned. You know, healthy approach to triathlon, balanced training, you know, life.
Real. And the great thing about TriDot, obviously, is that the artificial intelligence and the algorithm that makes everything so specific and so targeted. So there's not any rubbish training or rubbish miles, you know, like you don't have to be doing like,
who has
crazy
time for that.
Crazy miles. So you don't have to be training 25, 30 hours a week. Obviously there's times that you need to be on the bike for extended periods of times and running longer distances, but it's not every single week. And I just love that, you know, the athlete, it's so catered to every single athlete. And you put in all your biometric data. We track you, you know, your power, your heart rate, and everything is so specific. And I just think that that's the key to getting the best performance out of the athlete.
And so many athletes, professionals and age groupers, are overtrained, and they go into their race, particularly full Ironmans, and they have lackluster performances because when the gun goes off, you have to be ready to dig. You have to be ready to be focused for the entirety of a long course race. And that gets really hard when you've gone to the well too many times in training, or, you know, you just overdone it with your work life training balance. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we say this all the time, fitness doesn't equal performance. It's not about being as fit as possible to perform. It's about doing the right training. That's why we brought in TriDot, right? You know, you can find the right training and the right time, really the time balance, not spending 25 hours a week training when you're working a full-time job and you've got a couple kids or whatever your situation is. And then, you know, bringing in all the other aspects of racing, the little intangibles that we hope to bring to our, you know, our community. That's how you perform.
Yeah. I think, having a good race in an Ironman or even a 70.3, there's a lot of pieces to the puzzle that have to fit perfectly to have that great race. And it's not just all about the training. It's not just all about being fit on race, as Tim mentions. It's nutrition, there's the mental game. You need to be mentally ready. Obviously gear selection and that, but you know, having the TriDot platform allows us to dig into those things. I think a lot of coaches are just stuck in the numbers and stuck in the programs. And it's impossible if you're a professional coach with, you know, 15 to 20 athletes to be able to do all of that and then all the ancillary
absolutely
bits and pieces.
Yeah.
So I think it allows us to have the time to do.
I always go back to my race in Kona in 2019. You know, I broke my foot seven or eight weeks out from the race. I couldn't run. You know, I was running on an Ultra G for a little bit. It was week out from the race that I ran on the ground with unassisted weight. For the first time, a week out from the race. Not only did I have my best performance, I had my fastest run ever in Hawaii. And it just comes down to like, oh man, like you really can overtrain, and it really is a thing. You know, I mean, you think you're super fit, but you know, if you're not fresh on race day, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Is that even professionals?
we always preach that. I mean, if you just train with TriDot, that is great. If you can have TriDot plus a coach, that is the perfect scenario. And what's really cool for our TriDot athletes is that coach can be Marinda Carfrae and soon enough, probably Tim O'Donnell as well. Yep. So we're excited to have you guys in the family. And just, but before we call it a day, for our athletes listening who are maybe interested in joining the Tim and Ernie Fitness family, how can they find more information and how can they get connected to you?
You know, just want to let you know, go to timandrennie.com. That's where you can find more information. We have several different packages we're offering, and that's one thing we're really excited about, that, you know, with the TriDot platform, we can offer coaching and community options for a whole different, you know, range of prices to make it more accessible to everybody. And that's what we want. We want to build a really big group of athletes that just love the sport, love life, love their family, and want to have a good time.
Now, I know the announcement has gone out that you're coaching and you're already starting to hear from athletes that are interested. But I do want to point out that, Rennie, your very first TriDot coached athlete is our very own. He's a member of the Trot Out staff. His name is Billy Bourne from Colleyville, Texas. Billy immediately jumped when he found out, man, I have the opportunity to be coached by Rennie. He jumped into that. I know he's enjoying working with you, talking with you, training under your guidance and tutelage. And Billy actually just had his very first sprint triathlon of the season under your guidance and coaching. So, Rennie, I'm just kind of curious to hear, how is my man Billy doing in his training?
Billy's been doing great. It's really been fun to oversee his plan and coach him a little bit. And he's really a pretty good athlete, actually. Very strong athlete.
Cool, fun, good.
Well, the cool thing with Billy is that he's brand new to triathlon, so his improvements are massive. Every time we do an assessment, there's big jumps. And so, yeah, he just did a sprint race on the weekend, but he sort of, again, he had fun with it. And that was my main goal for him, to have a good time. So I think it might be his second triathlon ever. And, you know, he was in transition, got his phone out, you know, taking pictures of friends. So maybe not the best, like, you know, time he could have achieved, but I couldn't care less, so just as long as he was having a good time. And obviously everybody's goal is different. You know, Billy's going to be way different to an athlete that's getting ready for Kona and an athlete that's maybe doing, you know, 70.3 worlds or something like that. So I just really enjoyed, you know, guiding him on that journey.
I'm glad you point out that he is a newer triathlete. I know you're enjoying working with him, as you just said, and he's enjoying working with you. I think for kind of your average Joe triathlete, you know, just your day-to-day triathlete at home, plugging away, doing your training, when you hear that through TriDot, you have the opportunity to be coached by Mark Allen, by Marinda Carfrae, by Tim O'Donnell, there's kind of this thing in your head that, oh man, I am not good enough, strong enough, fast enough to merit being coached by these all-time greats. And I know just from talking to you guys that doesn't seem to be true. You seem to be very open to coaching athletes of all sorts of abilities and backgrounds and fitness levels. So just for our audience, you know, listening today, who's like, man, like, do I want to be coached by Rennie? That would be super dope. For a Tim and Rennie fitness athlete, what are you two looking for?
We hope to be able to cater to all different levels. You know, I don't think we're really focused on, you know, the professional range. We're more amateurs.
Lifestyle.
Yeah, lifestyle athletes who, you know, as I said, they use triathlon as a vehicle to be healthy. They have families, they have children, they have jobs. They want to feel good and enjoy the multi-sport community. So I think, yeah, we're, you know, from the newbie beginner to, you know, I spoke to an athlete yesterday, been racing for 25 years, just qualified for Kona. And it'll be actually her 25th Ironman race. And, but she's, I don't think ever properly been coached. So it'll be really fun to see how much I can help her along, you know, obviously been in sport for a long time, but I think I can really help her have a great experience in Kona. And that's all she wants. She wants to feel good, have a great race. And that's really the people we're looking at working with or hoping to work with.
And it's exciting because with TriDot, we've been able to offer kind of a range of packages for people to come into our world and, you know, ranging from, hey, I want Rennie, I want everything she's got to, hey, I just want to be a part of the community and I want an awesome training plan that's tailored to me and my races. And again, that's our introductory level, Tim and Rennie's world, as we call it. And I think it's really unique because it does offer a tailored training program and access to community for really, you know, kind of a reasonable price. So I think that's hard to find these days.
Great set, everyone. Let's cool down.
It's cool down time, everyone. And I'm Vanessa, your average triathlete with elite level enthusiasm. Our tip today is from a top-notch person who grew up on a cherry ranch in California and is over-the-top inspirational. Alex is the president and CEO of Hamlo Servant Leadership, which provides healthcare companies with coaching, systems, and development plans. He is also president and CEO of the Candy Hamlo Memorial Foundation, which launched in 2022 after his wife's passing from cancer. On the triathlon side of things, Alex has been involved in the sport for 37 years, and he has completed over 150 triathlons and more than 20 ultra marathons. He has sat on the top of the 70.3 age group podium. He is a 7-time USAT National Championship age group qualifier, a 70.3 age group qualifier, 30-plus 70.3 finisher, 3-time 140.6 finisher, and many ultramarathon top 3 age group finishes. Whoa, that was a lot. Alex has been a triathlon coach since 2011 and started coaching with TriDot in 2022. Alex likes working with slow or fast, intermediate, and experienced athletes, experienced single sport cyclists, and runners looking to get into triathlon. And I can only imagine, with all his racing and coaching experience, he knows a thing or two about nutrition and hydration for endurance sports. Welcome to the cool down, Alex.
Hey, Vanessa. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. Well, something that most people don't know about you is that you are a licensed minister or pastor, and you have officiated your father-in-law's funeral and also 3 of your nieces and nephews' marriages. To me, this sounds like you are extremely devoted to your family and have many life experiences that have led you to this place today.
Yeah, that's very true. Getting to be a licensed minister was not an objective of mine. And in fact, I had been involved in supporting others and serving others in my community, both in charity and in church, et cetera. But when my oldest nephew was actually looking to get married, he was not affiliated with any particular church. And he was just asking, you know, what should I do, et cetera. And it inspired me to actually, although I had been serving, you know, and so on and so forth, it inspired me to actually become licensed as a pastor, strictly because I wanted to be able to honor them and marry them. And that's led to now marrying 2 other of my nieces. And also, although it's never a great thing, it was truly a privilege to be able to officiate at my father-in-law's funeral when he passed. So it's been a wonderful thing. And actually, I've actually had requests to actually minister at other friends' weddings of my nieces and nephews. So more to come, I'm sure.
That just gives me shivers because it's so amazing. You must do such a wonderful job at all of those events. And I'm sure your entire family appreciates that very much. So what tip do you have for us today?
Well, this tip's regarding nutrition, and specifically race day nutrition and the part that many people forget about, and that is transitions. So race day nutrition is extremely important to practice, of course, meaning the kind of old adage that you don't ever want to try something brand new on race day, or the day before you went to the expo and they had some new product and everybody says it's the best thing in the world, but you've never tried it. Not a good idea, right, to bring that into your race plan. So you need to be able to have practiced the nutrition you're going to use on race day. And very importantly, you need to think about it in terms of each segment of the race, not general. And many people plan for, okay, this is the products I'm going to use, or I'm going to use, you know, certain on-course nutrition, et cetera. But what they don't think about is the greatest value of when you have the opportunity to actually ingest certain bits of the nutrition or special things that you might need. And having it in your transition plan is a huge bonus to either get a few extra calories, catch up for something you might be a little bit behind on or need to make up on because of something that might have occurred and went sideways on your bike, for example, or what have you. And most people don't plan for this. So many times in race day execution planning, they will go out and do, as you know from TriDot, you'll have race rehearsals that include a bike and then an off the bike run. And people will practice that, but they won't necessarily practice the idea of, okay, I'm going to do my nutrition on the bike like race day. And then they think about, okay, I'll do the run one. But what are you going to do in transition? What are you going to take in transition to help support your run and actually close out your bike? Do you have a plan for anything specific that you might want to put in the transition area just in case you lose something on the bike? I've personally coached athletes and been myself in a situation where I lost a bit of nutrition on the bike for whatever reason. I've had a bottle blow out of my cage and not realize it. And here I am toward the end of the bike without what I need, and it was vital for my plan. How am I going to deal with that? Well, in transition, you put a bit of nutrition to make up for whatever might be necessary for you as you get off the bike before you go into the run. And also make sure you have what you need for the run separated in your transition so that you can actually grab it quickly. It's integrated for what you need going forward. Just a simple tip, but it's something that's super valuable. Last thing on this is that if you have any potential issues and you have a saltwater swim, it's really good to make sure you have a bit of extra water and also something to clear your palate if you swallowed a bunch of salt water in a swim. So don't neglect thinking about that as well. Just have something you know is good and palatable, will clean out your palate if you happen to swallow a bunch of salt water in a saltwater swim. So transition one, you want to have something to clean that up. A little extra water. Transition two, you want to have extra nutrition that you might have missed on the end of the bike. And also make sure you have what you need for the run separated so you're ready to go. Take those things out of your mind, get them planned in advance, and practice them.
That is a phenomenal set of tips that you gave there. You gave more than one, which I thank you greatly from the bottom of my heart. I especially appreciate the salt water taste in your mouth, because I've been having a lot more experience swimming in the ocean over here. And that is definitely a taste that you might not want to have. I mean, some people really like it, but other people don't like that feeling. So having some water is a great idea. And the other thing that I think is really fabulous is planning for the event that you might lose your nutrition on the bike for whatever reason, because that is definitely a story that we've all heard time and time again. So that's a wonderful way to kind of mitigate the potential loss of your nutrition.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's something most people don't think about. And then it happens to them and they go, oh, I wish I would have. Well, I've heard every time and you never have to.
Yeah, that's awesome. And to minimize the amount of least amount of stress that you're going to put on yourself, right? And knowing that you have this backup plan is going to reduce your anxiety and stress when you're transitioning from one sport to the other. So that's great. Thank you so much for joining us. And those were great tips. And it's great to have you on the show.
Thanks, Vanessa. I really appreciate it. Look forward to speaking to you soon.
Thanks for joining us. Make sure to subscribe and share the TriDot podcast with your triathlon crew. For more great Tri content and community, connect with us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Ready to optimize your training? Head to TriDot.com and start your free trial today. TriDot, the obvious and automatic choice for triathlon training.